It is hard for me to describe. He saith unto them, but who do you say that I am? Okay, we read that. Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah. Remember, Peter's name was Simon. Simeon. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And that means, you know, it's not that you figured this out, or that somebody else figured it out for you. And that's how it is with the truth. You know, if you would ask me, how, Paul, can you teach me to be unleavened? I said, I can't do it. All I can do is do what God's Spirit has given me to do, which is declare the things that God has taught me. And for you to be able to receive it, for it to be revealed to you, I can't do it, but only the Spirit of God can do it. Yeah, the Spirit of God can do it through my mouth, sure. But it can also close the ears of others. It opens the ears of some, closes the ears of others. It opens doors for some, slams the doors in the face of others. That's what the work of the Spirit of God. It is the savor of life unto life, and the savor of death unto death. To them that believe not, it is death. To them that believe, it is life. I set betwixt thee the way of life and the way of death. The way of belief, the way of unbelief. The way of righteousness and the way of unrighteousness. The way of the leavened and the unleavened. There's always a stark division. You know, there always comes another wisdom that says otherwise. It says, oh, you know, well, you know, yes and no. Right? Well, there's righteousness and a little unrighteousness. Yes, of course, but no. Yes and no. Listen to my study on 2 Corinthians. Oh, how they teach. Yes and no. But Peter here says, yea and amen. Thou art the Christ. Now, is he the Christ? Well, maybe. Maybe the Christ or maybe one of the other prophets. No, but Peter knew the truth. Flesh and blood had not revealed it to him. That's what I have been talking about. God opens our hearts to the truth. That is how we are able to hear it. That is how we are able to have faith. It has to be given to us from above. Every good gift comes from above. What do you have? You know, 1 Corinthians chapter, I think, what is it? 4, verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory, as if thou hadst not received it? What do you have in yourself that you did not receive from somewhere else? Meaning your life or even your personality. I mean, I'm possession of myself. It's like, but even yourself, where'd that come from? Did you make yourself? Well, it came from somewhere, didn't it? God is creator of all. And flesh and the things we believe or disbelieve, it's not because we pull it out of nothing and make it out of our own will, but rather God reveals it. You know, and it's a beautiful thing. You know why? People say, well, that's so, I don't like that because I want to be in control. If we were in control, we would all mess it up. None of us would figure it out. Now, couldn't God make it? They would all would figure out, well, I suppose he could, but that's not what he chose to do. And it's his prerogative, isn't it? He doesn't owe us an eternal life. He doesn't owe any, you know, the fact that we are alive. We could not be alive. We could have never been born. And then we wouldn't complain. But still, would it be fair if we never got to live and everyone who ever got to live eternally? Like, what makes them better than me? A lot of them were pretty bad people. And that's a little deep. I don't want to go too deep into that because I've talked about it many times in my Bible studies. God does not owe us a living. God does not owe it to us that he should reveal himself to us. And if he hides himself from us, what is that to us? That we have a right to complain. I mean, you can complain all you like. It's not going to justify you. He says, I say to you that you are Peter, Petros, a rock. I guess I have notes in my Bible about the feminine and the masculine and the implications that he says that, you know, the Peter here is a rock, movable, like, but as a Petra is the other rock, which is immovable, like in situ, or, you know, like a rock, like on this rock, not, But whatever. You know, obviously as I pause, I'm like, when I start getting into that, I get out of my depth because that's not what I rely on for my teaching. I don't rely on those things, and those are fine because I don't need that to know the truth of, you know, upon this rock I will build my church does not refer back to Peter. Peter, you are the rock on which I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church on you. No, 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 no. No foundation can man lay than that is laid. You know, the rock of which the church is built is the confession of our mouth. And what is the confession? The Lord Jesus. If thou shalt confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus. If thou shalt confess, the first thing with the mouth confession is made unto faith, and that unto salvation. The beginning of our faith is our confession. When the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He just said in the previous chapter, a couple chapters back, I think it was 14. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And the evil man out of evil treasure brings forth evil things. But the heart becomes abundant with things. Jesus is the Christ. So it comes out of my mouth. Blah, Jesus is the Christ. And that confession is the rock on which the church is built. The confession of Jesus Christ. Himself being the chief cornerstone. Not Peter. So when people try to read this and say, no, it means that Peter is the rock. Thou art Peter, a rock, and on this rock, Peter, I will build my church. That's not what he meant. Well, the tradition of the church says that Peter is the rock. I would see. Don't tell me what the tradition is. By your traditions, you make void the word of God. Peter is not on what the church is built. Maybe they built the Catholic Church on some false vision of Peter. You know, I've given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's why they always portray St. Peter at the pearly gates. There he is with the keys of the kingdom. And he waits up there and he's got the book and he decides whether to let you in or not. All nonsense. That's not what it means about the keys of the kingdom. Peter, you are Peter. You are a rock. And I'm going to build my church on the rock. This rock. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. On the fact of his own identity, of who he was. But obviously he can't say it, on me I will build the church, as far as because humility would forbid it. But rather he built it on the confession, because it is the confession of the believer on which Christ is built up in us as a people unto a house, a building of God.